Because it's not just enough to win, it's enough to win and after all, to stand. Somebody said to stand. And that's the idea of finishing well, because eventually as we get to the end of the year, all of us in the grace of God will finish the year. Amen? I thought you would say a louder amen.
Amen.
All of us will finish the year, but how many of us will finish well in the context of God? And it's not just about breathing into the new year. It's about finishing well, and in the scripts of God, it is recorded that you accomplished that which was set out for you in the year. So the Bible said, and having done all, after we have put on the whole armor of God, and having done all, having withstood the evil day, we should be able to stand. Somebody say stand. So the idea of finishing strong is to finish well, to be able to stand strong in that which you have been called to do. And I just want to say finishing well in the year, because this in this context have to do with the end of the year. Somebody say amen. And of course you can extract that into your personal assignment or things the Lord has asked you to do. But in the context of the year, finishing well does not equally mean that your year was good or great. And I want you to understand that, because many a times our way of understanding and defining great might not be God's great. Amen? I always give this example. Think about this. Jesus, remember, the children of Israel had a covenant of life with God. They were people of God. They had a covenant of life. And by that covenant, they had long life. Okay? Long life was one of the promises that they enjoyed. But did you recognize that Jesus coming, being born into the nation of Israel, didn't have long life necessarily? Jesus died at 33 and a half, as we always say it. Jesus died at the prime of his age. In the definition of men, he died young. In the definition of men, he was short-lived. But in the agenda of God, he was fully satisfied. Because many a times, the way we might define how great and how good the year is not necessarily how God is perceiving it. And that's why it's important for us to learn the things we're going to learn today and even next Sunday, because next Sunday we're going to be learning on how to start the year in strength. We're learning today how to finish the year strong. Somebody say strong. So it doesn't really mean that your year was good or great, meaning that there might have been things in your heart that you hoped and believed for, and they might not have come to pass. That means that you probably hoped that this year you would have owned a private jet. Okay? And it doesn't look like the private jet is coming next year, even. Doesn't mean that God has failed. Doesn't mean that your year is not great yet. We have to look at how God perceives greatness. But I want to equally say that Scripture encourages us in understanding kingdom principle to set our minds to a certain tune. How many of you heard what I said? Scripture encourages us in understanding kingdom principles that our minds must be tuned to a particular position. That's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, let this mind be in who? You, which was also in Christ Jesus. And why did the Bible say that? Because many of us have tendencies of adopting mindsets that are not kingdom mindsets. And those mindsets might be widely accepted. They might be culturally accepted. They might be accepted by the society. But if it's benchmarked with the mentality of the kingdom, will it meet the mark? Because remember, Jesus didn't come in his own will alone. Remember, he prayed before he was crucified. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. But Jesus made a remarkable statement. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus identified that in this human flesh, there must be a battle between our mentality and the mentality of the kingdom. Every one of us are faced with that battle. So in understanding kingdom principle, one of the limitations that men must have and have had over time is that they already have an infused mentality that fights the mentality of the kingdom. The mentality of the kingdom is what first even brings the success that God has designed and equally sustains it. How many of you understand what I mean? The mentality of the kingdom is what brings the success that God has rightly designed, and the mentality of the kingdom is what sustains it. Because many of us will know that if God blesses you and you don't have the mentality to keep it, you won't keep it. Amen? The blessing can come and go. Because there's a mentality that attracts the blessing. There's a mentality that sustains the blessing. And that mentality is not of this world. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if Jesus being God, I want you to hear this. The Bible tells us that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Somebody say bodily. I want you to follow me because I'm referring to scriptures. I don't want to read because of our time. But the Bible said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Somebody said bodily. What that scripture means is that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. It means that the fullness of God dwelt in a 100% man. The fullness of God dwelt in him bodily. The word bodily identifies that he was fully man. Amen? Are we together? And Jesus, if he was fully God, he still had to maintain this mentality to succeed. Brothers and sisters, don't think you would do your best if you refuse this mentality. What mentality is this, especially as it relates to finishing strong? There's a position of mind that the believer must have. That position of mind states this, as simple as it sounds, that the ending of a thing is the beginning of another. In fact, Genesis chapter 8 gives us this inspiration. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 22, very popular scripture that we all read. Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 22. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night. It appears that out of the four things he mentioned, many of us, all of us actually are already experiencing three out of it. Okay, the first one is what maybe you're not planting yet. Okay, but you are actually experiencing either, what's the second one? Now everyone is looking at me. What's the second one? You're either experiencing what? Cold or heat. Or you are in summer or winter. It's clearly you know where you are. Praise God. And the next one, you are either in the day or in the night. Something I want you to observe. The Bible tells us that while the earth remaineth, these things will not cease. But I want you to observe the things he said will not cease. These things that will not cease does not have an interruption with them. As one is ending, the other overlaps it. Amen? There is no break in this journey as long as the earth remaineth. In that manner, and this is something most of God's people have not realized, that in finishing strong, there is a foundational mentality that must remain in you. That the ending of a thing is important as the beginning. Amen? And as that thing ends, in this case, as the year ends, you must realize that being able to take stock of the end would help you maximize the new beginning. So one of the strategies of finishing strong, and I want you to follow me because this is very important. One of the strategies of finishing strong as the year comes to an end is that you must have to develop the strategy of taking stock of your journey thus far. In fact, in many cases, understanding where you are right now and the things that have happened to you this year would help you maximize the year coming. Hear me. If you go into next year, and it's going to be a brand new year, but if you go into next year and repeat the same things you did this year, guess the result you're going to have? Same thing. If you go into next year and you are unaware of the forces that limited you this year, you are unaware of them, and you step into next year, guess the result you're going to have? Same result. Those forces are going to have the same power over you. So it's a mentality of the kingdom. It's a principle of the kingdom that we must have to employ. That the ending of one automatically is the beginning of another. So in the wisdom of God, as we are moving into a new year, God's people must have to learn how to begin to take stock of the one that is ending. I want to give you the steps to taking stock of the year to help you finish strong. The first step in taking stock of the year is, one, you must have to recognize the things that you are grateful for in that year. In fact, in many cases, gratitude is the power that helps the heart to move forward. You know, when someone is hopeful about something, check their heart. There's gratitude in there. And hope maketh alive. Amen? The Bible tells us so. That means when a man does not have hope, he really doesn't have life to look forward to. Amen? Would you believe that there is someone somewhere now that is so depressed that doesn't care whether the year is ending or starting? He's so depressed that he's just thinking if he has to continue living. And sometimes, you know what I've discovered? When you get close to such people, you discover that they are full of potentials. But the other thing I've discovered is that two attitudes or character abide with such people. One, they complain a lot. And let me tell you what happens to people that complain. They don't recognize great things in their life. They always see negative things. I'm telling you the forces that fight gratitude, because when you're not grateful for the things that has happened in your life, it's difficult to take the next step. So you see, last Sunday, that was our gratitude Sunday, was strategic. And God was so smart about it that he made it so that God's people have to come. It's called the Feast of Ingathering. When God's people come and celebrate the Lord for the things which he has done. And they don't know that in that celebration, they're already preparing for the next season ahead. So you must have to identify the things that you're grateful for. I did a little test to a few persons that I have the privilege of speaking with. And I called them up and I said, and I didn't give them time to prepare. I said, I'm going to ask you a question and give me an answer in less than 30 seconds. Tell me four things you're grateful for this year. Now, for some of us seated here, I might even give you 2 minutes. You will not figure out four things. I'm showing you how the heart of man is already setting up for the next year. Because many persons will first see the things that they are not grateful for. So sometimes when you ask them, what are you grateful for? They first see all the challenges that have made them ungrateful. And I can tell you the universal point of gratefulness. I'm grateful for life. Okay, so this is what I did. I told him, I said, remove life. Okay, I know you're grateful for life, but tell me four other things that you're grateful for. And guess what I discovered? I caught 6 persons. Not one of them told me up to 2. And they are tongue-talking, Bible-believing, with a lot of faith for the future. So you must have to learn how to count your blessings. In fact, we say that we count your blessings, and not just counting your blessings, name them. You know what that means? Don't just say, God has done so much. Identify them, name them one by one. He says it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So one of the strategic steps, and these are spiritual principles. These are spiritual principles. Think about this. The Bible tells us that when we come to the Lord to pray, the Bible said after we have prayed, we should end it with thanksgiving. It tells you that thanksgiving is a force. Guess what? You're asking the Lord for something. What you're asking the Lord for has not done yet, but God says end it with thanksgiving. It tells you that in the thanksgiving has a power within that the believer must have to begin to tap. Is a state of mind where the heart is full of gratitude. You're grateful for many things. In fact, I want to say it this way. You have to be grateful for more things in your life than the things that you're not grateful for. That's how you know whether gratitude has taken charge of your heart. Did you hear what I said? That means, how many of you hear what I said? That means if you're asked to list the things that you're not grateful for this year and the things you're grateful for, the things you're grateful for should outnumber the things you're not grateful for. And I'll tell you the power that works in that system. Because there are many things in your life that you might not be grateful for. Is someone hearing me? Are we together? There are many things in your life that you might not be grateful for. They might not look as things that will inspire you to be grateful for. But remember, the Bible tells us, the Bible said that in all things, we should give God thanks. In how many things? It says in all things, we should give God thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 18. Now before we read that scripture, I want to add a scripture to you. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Remember, we are learning how to finish strong. And hear me, the word of God that we learn is not for hearing, it's for doing. Amen? Amen? Meaning that as you hear God's word, one of the things that should be going through your spirit is, how do I put this to work? It's not just about what I'm hearing. It's about, how do I put this to work? What do I do after now? James chapter 1 and verse 17. Let's look at James chapter 1 verse 17. Everyone read, one to go. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want you to understand it from the surface of what it says. It says, every good gift and perfect gift. Now, I want you to look at those two words. Now, some years ago, I did a teaching on good gifts and perfect gifts, and we don't have time for that today. But that tells us something, that there are gifts that are not good, even though they are gifts. Because the idea we have is that every gift is, because it's a gift, is good. Okay? It's good to get gifts. Okay? And not every gift is perfect, meaning that not every gift serves for your assignment. There are things that, and this is where God's people sometimes miss it. There are things that persons, you know, I've had the privilege of people giving me certain gifts, and I knew automatically that it was not a perfect gift. I had once that someone had something happened in his life, and he was so grateful, and he called me and said, I wanted to say thank you, and I want to do this. And I said, immediately he said that, the first thing I said was, hold on, if you get a call from me, then you can do it. If you don't get a call, don't do it. So after like 2 or 3 months or so, he calls me back, and he's like, Pastor, the Lord is leading me to do this. And guess what I was doing within that 3 months? I wanted to take time and search my heart. Because you don't take every gift. Every gift is not good and perfect. In this case, it was not a perfect gift. And as I searched my heart, I didn't have a leading to take it. And I humorously told the brother, I said, please don't give me a gift that will send me to hell. I don't want it. Because every gift is not good. Every gift is not perfect. But how do you identify gifts that are good and perfect? The only way you can identify it is if you identify your journey, if you identify your path. Think about it. You're traveling from Halifax to Ottawa, and someone gives you a plane ticket from here to Singapore. Is that a gift? It's not in your path, but it's a gift. But if you don't even know your journey, your destination, you take every gift. Every gift will seem good to you because it's a gift. In fact, there are persons that the gift they receive define their destination. You know what I mean? They're supposed to be going to Ottawa. You don't give them Singapore. They will head to Singapore. But here's the point I want you to take from that scripture. The Bible said every good gift. Somebody say good gift. And perfect gift. The Bible said it comes from above. Now, here's where the believer must have to start to recognize the things he or she is grateful for. The good and perfect gifts that God has brought your way. They come from above. The second scripture, let's go to the second scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Very simple scripture. He says, in some things, is that what your Bible says? The Bible says, in most things, what does it say? I want to be sure that you're reading it clearly. It says, in almost everything, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many of us truly believe it? That everything that happens to you as you walk with God is the will of God in your life. As you walk with God, remember that statement. Because there are many that when you don't walk with God, things will happen and you think it's the will of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are certain things that can happen to the believer because the believer walked in disobedience. And that's where the believer must have to be discerning. Because by the time I get to the second and third strategy, you discover how the believer will recognize these things. Here's something that I want you to realize. There are believers that are so ignorant that none of this is revealed to them. They have no way of recognizing what the will of God is. Because they don't even know it in the first place. So what was God's will for you in 2023? How many things happened to you this year that when you benchmark them with the will of God, even though others might say, this is not good, but you look at it, you say, this is the will of God concerning me. And you say, God, thank you. How can a believer do that when the believer does not even know what 2023 holds? And do you know there are many believers in that situation? They came into this year not knowing exactly what God's will is. All they thought was that God has promised them good. So this year must be good. And based on that good, they begin to draw out all the desires of their hearts. So there is a place where the believer must have to identify what the will of God is. Can I shock you? Your journey in every year would be peculiar to you. Is someone hearing me? It will be peculiar to you. That means that if you don't identify it, you can move through the year, but you move ignorantly. And you might think you had a good life, but you not have the best of it. Because the best life we have, the best life we can ever have, is in the will of God for us. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the believer must have to recognize the things he or she is grateful for. That's the first strategy. Recognize the things you're grateful for. And to take practical steps, count your blessings, name them one by one. What that means is go and take stock of the things that you're grateful for this year. Go and take stock. Go and take stock. One of the exercises that we were taught when I was growing up in faith, and this was when I was much younger, at the beginning of every year, we are told to write down things that we want God to do for us. Amen? And when we write them down, at the beginning of every year, we take them to fast and prayer, which we're going to be doing next year as well. And during that time of fasting and prayer, we are told to bring it before the Lord. Every one of us, I was very young then. But we usually have this 3-day set apart that we fast and pray. And within those 3 days, you would take your own request to the Lord and say, Lord, here are the things I'm believing you for this year. Then you bring it to the Lord and pray about them. Now, because I was much younger, I didn't know better. But at the least, I recognized that in many cases, by the end of the year, when you pull out that stuff, God has done more than 90% of them. More than 90% of them that you did not remember that God has done them. Not until you pulled out that record. And you're like, oh. One very clear one was, I remember those days, you know, we'll say, Lord, we want to be able to give this to you. I remember that year that I said, Lord, I want to give you ₦1,000,000. And I was very young in secondary school. I said, Lord, I want to give you ₦1,000,000. Now, how am I supposed to do that? I wasn't even sure if my parents had given ₦1,000,000 to the Lord at once. And I was still dependent. But I said, Lord, I want to do that. And that was after, and this is, you know, where a good children club serves, because we're taught about how Solomon gave to God. And we're so inspired. And I said, Lord, I want to give you something that is beyond my state. Guess what happened? Because I've shared this, you know, a little bit with us. And back then we had what we call tithe cards. How many of us know what I'm talking about? Tithe cards, where every tithe you pay is recorded there. So, every one of us were handed our tithe cards. I was young, I was given my own tithe card. So as I pay my tithe 15 naira, I'll write it second week of April, 15 naira. I'll go to church and give it to the Lord and pray over it. I never recognized that something was happening until the end of the year, 31st night, we came and then the pastor was ministering and he said, go and check what God has done for you financially with your tithe card. So I decided to go check. And guess what I discovered? My tithe indicated that more than 1 million naira went through my hands. More than 1 million naira went, if I remember, it was about 1.2 million naira. My tithe indicated I went through my hands. But guess what? I didn't give it to the Lord. I didn't know it was going through my hands. Is someone hearing me? I didn't recognize it was going through my hands. But I asked the Lord for it and I was not working. So you must learn how to identify the things you're grateful for. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. One of the reasons you have to do that, we've said that, is because gratitude powers your heart, sets your heart right for your next season. Somebody say amen. It sets your heart right for the next season. The second strategic step that the believer must take is to evaluate how well he finished. Now, I took time to say that because I want to explain that. Because for you to be able to evaluate how well you finished, you must have started something to evaluate how well you finished. But in this case, what must you have started? Because when we walk with God, some of us don't realize that God has everything in stock for us. So let's read a few scriptures. John chapter 17 and verse 4. Go with me, I have a few more minutes. John chapter 17 and verse number 4. I have glorified thee. This is Jesus speaking, amen. Jesus said, I have glorified you, God, on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Can everyone read one to go? Jesus gives us a clue. He says, Lord, I've glorified you on the earth. And I have finished. The way he glorified God is that he finished the work he was given to do. Jesus gave us a clue that every one of us made by God had been given a work to do. Every one of us have been what? Given a work to do. But what happens when you have been given a work that you never recognized in your life? Because the only way you can evaluate how well you finished is to recognize what you were given to do. And let me tell you, when you read the scriptures, I want you to see the reality of some of these men. Look at Apostle Paul. He said, I have fought a good fight. I want you to watch this. A man stood before the Lord and said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Meaning that Paul knew exactly what was given to him to do. That's a statement that many believers cannot make in their life. They're not sure. What work have you been given to do? Because, listen, every work that God must have given you to do is directly tied to your purpose on earth. Amen? And there's something about our life purposes. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. If we can just reference that scripture quickly. Bible said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, the point I want you to take here is that there is this purposes exist in seasons. They are worked out in seasons. Are you hearing me? In this season of your life, and I want you to recognize God does not calculate season by years. Sometimes one season of your life in the calendar of men, one season of that God has created in your life in the calendar of men can have 7 years in one. But the question is, in the season of your life now, which this year is a part of a season of your life, did you identify the work that God had given you to do. You know, something about our purpose, because eventually I've discovered that most believers are not even desirous to identify what their life purpose is. And the reason is because they don't know how important it is. Do you know that your purpose, you now, your purpose on earth is very important. It's very important in the grand scale of what God is doing on the earth. I'm not prophesying to you, I'm telling you, God does not send a man to the world for nothing. Every one of us that was born in this time, there is a purpose over your life. You might not be on the pulpit, but there's a purpose over your life. So your purpose is an important fragment in the grand scale of what God is doing on the earth. Think about that. Suddenly there's a man that God uses, because sometimes some of us look at superficial things. Just like how in the church, there are many that begin to identify people that work with God because of the anointing they have measured they have. Do you understand what I said? So they believe that he's anointed because he can heal the sick. And they don't recognize that those gifts don't measure who is having a good work with the Lord or not. Those gifts don't measure. They are not a good yardstick of measuring who has a work with the Lord. But there are many believers today that if they were in the time of Pharaoh and Moses, they would have thought that those sorcerers that dropped their staff alongside with Moses, that they were coming from the same source. Many believers today would have fought. If those sorcerers opened churches, some believers would have committed. Because our metrics of identifying this spiritual journey is so false. So it's something about identifying the purpose over your life. And be proud of it. The purpose of your life must not be a public purpose. There are people, are you hearing me? There are people that what God has called them to do is something that will put them on the stage. They'll be public figures. Makes no difference to the one that God called to raise that one to be on the public stage. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
sir. And go and check history. Many men that have had a walk with the Lord, okay? Not all, but many men that have had a walk with the Lord. Go and check their... Many a times, the foundation of their work with the Lord started from the people that raised them when they were young. So sometimes you find a minister that now is blessing millions of lives around the world. But in the grand scale of things, in the depth of it, it was his grandmother. That nobody knows her name. But she understood her purpose in raising him up. And I heard about a minister, and I'm going to try to get you his name. This minister had an evangelical ministry from the United States, and it touched lives globally. He holds crusades of millions, and lives are saved. Six, in fact, the dead are raised. And nobody knew that the power behind that work was a man in his ministry that was an intercessor for over 40 years. So he kept holding crusades. Nobody heard about intercessor. They knew about him. Until a certain day, the man that was an intercessor died and went to be with the Lord. I'm telling you a true life story. He died and went to be with the Lord. The crusade that minister held immediately after that man's burial, he went for the crusade. No miracle. He held the second crusade. In that crusade, a man possessed of demon got up and attacked him on the stage. So when he left that second crusade, he went back to the Lord to say, what's going on? And guess what the Lord told him? The Lord told him and said, the power behind your ministry was that man that understood his purpose has come back home. And the Lord told him and said, if your ministry will continue, you have to raise an altar, raise another man that will understand that altar. But now he was aged. So he now withdrew and started pastoring a church and started mentoring others to teach them his journey. But guess what? No man knows that man that was an intercessor, except that the Lord told him, something about understanding your purpose. And I've seen many believers that don't want to understand their purpose. They want to negotiate their purpose. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So God is telling them that your assignment is to serve a man. And they say, Lord, look at the anointing on me. So the purposes of our life, doesn't matter how big or small you might think it is an important fragment in the broader scale of God's agenda. And what that means is that every year or day in your life that you walk without guidance, there is a needle that is not moved in your early purpose. Something is stagnant. And look at it at a broader scale, there's an assignment, an agenda of God that is frustrated because you did not walk in the right course. Amen? So practical truths. In evaluating how well you finished, there are some that will fall into this category, because I want to mention these three categories and we pray. The first category are those that don't even know what their journey is. They might have had a supposed good life this year. In other words, they did not die. They didn't have an accident. They didn't break their leg. They were not defrauded. They didn't lose big money. They are not sick. They might have had a supposed good life, but in reality, they didn't have clarity. They didn't start this year with God. They just entered. And sometimes we have people like that. They just got into the year and they continued their life. For such people, your strategy of finishing well this year is even in the fact that you are realizing that starting with God is important. Amen? In fact, for the fact that you're coming to the knowledge of the truth, you're ending well this year. What that means is that you're setting the foundation to be able to start well for next year. Who understand what I'm saying? So if you're such that started the year and you did not start with God, and now we're in the 12th month, you are unaware the things God has set out for your life from January. Now you're in the 12th month and you're like, did I lose this year? It might have seemed like you lost the year, but the truth about it is that your journey starts now. And the beauty of it is that you're coming to the knowledge of the truth in realizing that starting with God is important. There's a second category of persons. And this category are those who seem like they started with God. And I use the word seem like they started with God, primarily because many of us think that starting with God is starting with God in His presence. Starting in His presence. How many of you understand that? So I've seen many believers that will say, well, I don't go to church, but 31st night into, I make sure that I cross over in the presence of God. Some will tell you, I don't go to church, but there are specific days that I don't miss. Easter, because I understand that that's when Jesus died and resurrected. Christmas, I will be in church. Then 31st night, I must cross over. I must stay before my Maker. So let me tell you that starting right with God does not necessarily mean that you're starting in His presence. There are three stages of starting right with God. Starting in His presence is the first, but it does not account for all of them. We're going to talk about the three of them next Sunday. But there are those that started with God seemingly because they started in His presence. So at the first night, they made sure they were in church, and I've seen lots of stuff. But that doesn't mean that you started with God. And the challenge there is that because you started in His presence, you did not hit all the hallmarks of starting with God. Now remember, I just said there are three stages of starting with God at the beginning of the year. The first of it is starting in His presence. Amen? And the spiritual idea behind it is that we present ourselves to the Lord as we step into the new year. Amen? But that does not account for understanding your journey for that year. That means that 31st night you can be here in church and cross over by the clock of men. But you see, stepping into 2024, being ignorant of what your journey is. Being ignorant of what God has set before you. And for such persons, you might have thought that, well, I started with God this year. I was in God's presence. I danced. I prayed. But I'm telling you that there are two other stages of starting with God. You just accomplish the first one, which in many ways does not account for so much. So if you're such a believer, one of the practical steps you have to take is to ensure that in continuing in starting in His presence, you add the other two in your life. Amen? This is how you are finishing strong, because you're taking stock of the year. What if you're such that actually started with the Lord? Meaning that you started with the Lord in His presence and you hit all the other marks. There are some believers that at the beginning of every year, they go on retreats. Amen? So even though they started in God's presence, they take out time to ask the Lord about the year. And I can share my experience with you, but I'm out of time. But I'll tell you that every year, I have direct instructions from the Lord that for the last 7 years or so has not failed. Has not failed. And I was sharing with them one of the times we finished service, I had a group of persons that were back in church. And I told them, and I said, the 31st into the first of every year, in my work with the Lord, by the time we're done with that service, I go back with the Lord. And for the last 7 or 8 years, I always come back with the Lord telling me my financial state for the next year. Among other things He talks to me about. And what I've discovered is in many ways, you will discover that your year, the year that is ahead of you, is in front of Him this way. Amen? Psalms chapter 139, that's the last scripture I'm going to read. Psalm 139 and verse 16. Psalm 139 and verse 16. Can we all read one to go? All right. So, I was having a meeting with our admin team. I think it was this week or last week. And I played a video that I stumbled into, which I think many of us probably would have seen. Sometimes when you read King James Version of the Bible, right? You get into a situation where when you're reading it for people, when you're done, you're almost asking them, please, do you understand? Do you understand what I read? So this is King James, and it might not give us that much understanding. So do you have any other translation? Do you have TLB? TLB is in my spirit, the Living Bible. Okay, who has TLB? I'm looking for TLB. I know all those other translations, but there's something I want you to understand about this scripture. The Living Bible. All of us that have phones, you got it? Okay. So, yeah, let me.
Your eyes saw me when I was unformed, and in your book were written the days that were formed, when not one of them had come to be.
Okay, that's an old version TLB. Who has another TLB? That's not what yours is, a little different. Yeah, okay. Because there's something in my spirit. Okay.
You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book.
That's it. Look at that. It says, you saw me before I was born and you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. He says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Now, most believers don't know that scripture is true. But let me start by, most believers don't know that scripture exists. They think they are living for themselves. It says in your book is scheduled each day of my life, even before I began to breathe. So think about the days of your life for the next coming year, the 365 days. Are you aware that they have been scheduled? There's an appointment for you. There's a schedule over your life. Question is, how would you discover the schedule? How would you discover it? Now, next one, I'm going to take time to share how you can discover the schedules of your life. These are things that have guided me in my work with the Lord every single year. So if you're such that maybe you started with the Lord, because when you start with the Lord in trueness, I'll tell you two things that will happen to you. One, God will leave you with instructions of the things you have to do in that year. Is someone hearing me? When you truly start with the Lord, God will leave you. You will come out from His presence with instructions of the things you have to do in the year. He will tell you. Then, secondly, He will tell you the things that He, God, would do in the year. Did you hear what I said? And if you're such that I've ever entered your year, and all the years you go into, you never come out with a clear-cut picture of what God wants you to do, instructions of what you have to do for the Lord. In many ways, you have not started fully with Him in those years. Because those years, the days in those years have been scheduled. In fact, a believer that recognizes will refuse to get into the affairs of that year until the Lord speaks. Because you might just be walking in the wrong direction. And if you're such that started with the Lord this year, you have to go back and as well take stock of this year. You know, persons like me, I started the year with clear instructions. Clear instructions. And once I get into the end of the year, guess what I begin to do? In my moments of fasting and prayer, we're going to talk about some of these things next Sunday. I begin to go through everything the Lord asked me to do in the year. And I tell you some things that eventually I've discovered over many years. In many cases, you might not, in human limitation will make you that you might not obey all of it. And this is an honest report. But in that case, that's where you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it here. I was unable to do this. Wow. And in those moments, the Lord sometimes will even reveal to you why you couldn't do some things He asked you to do. And the reason He'll reveal it is because next year He will give you some instructions, but now you are aware of what to deal with. That's how God's people make progress. But most of God's children start the year, they just go into the year. They just go to work. They're just living, just going that way. And the schedules of their days are passed by without them realizing. So if you're such that started with the Lord, how to take stock of your life is to go and say, Lord, look at the things You asked me to do in this year. And you begin to score yourself. How did I do them? Did I accomplish it, Lord? Did I do the things You wanted me to do? And He will tell you. He will tell you. He will tell you. Somebody say amen. Yeah, He will tell you. I was scoring myself last week. And the year is still remaining. I was scoring myself and suddenly I realized the Lord asked me to do something for the less privileged this year that I thought I've done. But when I went back to the script, I discovered I didn't do it fully. So I said, Lord, I'm going to do that before the year ends. Now, sometimes God might ask you to do such things, but He will not tell you what He wants to do with what you do. Is someone hearing me? And I thought about the power of goodwill. That's what is called the power of goodwill. The Bible talks to us about Cornelius. The Bible said there were two things the man did. He didn't know the Lord. But he did two things, and those two things he did, the Bible said, in the presence of God, built a memorial for him in God's presence. While on the earth, he was doing them casually. Guess what the two things were? He prayed, and he was giving alms. He didn't know the Lord, but he was giving alms to people. And the Bible said, before God in heaven, those things he did built a memorial before God. At some point, God said, I won't neglect this man. God had to send an angel to him. Listen to me. There are many believers that have served God for years. They have not had an encounter from the Lord. This man, not knowing the Lord, God infused an encounter. And guess what the message was when God sent an angel? The summary of the message was God told him, listen, I demand that you must be saved. Is someone hearing me? Remember, salvation is by us preaching to them that they hear the message. In this man's case, he did something on earth that God sent an angel and told him, Cornelius, send a man to Joppa. You see this man in this person's house, bring the man. He would tell you, God says He would tell you what you must do. When Peter came, what was he told to do? To give his heart to the Lord. Peter obviously didn't want to go because he was a Gentile. And to show you how desirous God was, the Bible said Peter reluctantly went anyways. Okay, after he had several conversations with the Lord. How many of us remember the story? Peter reluctantly went. Now, when Peter was speaking to them, hear me, this is Saint Peter, that he is called to cities where the gospel has been preached and men receive Jesus. Peter goes there and lay hands on them to receive the Holy Ghost. He knows that by laying down of his hands, men receive the Holy Ghost. In this case, God knew that Peter would not lay down hands with a clear heart. And guess what the Bible said? While Peter was yet speaking to them reluctantly, the Holy Ghost fell on them. That's, you know why God was that desirous? Because the man activated the power of goodwill and prayer. So many times there are things God will ask you to do. He might not tell you what he's going to use what you want he has told you to do in your life. There might be things you've been praying and asking him for. And his answer to it is that he will tell you to bless that lady. But you might not know why he has told you to do it. He will not tell you. Until suddenly you do it. And let me tell you, many a times God, many a times, if not all the time, God will tell you to do things that will be painful. Is someone hearing me? They'll be painful to you. Oh my God. I had someone that really hurt me many years ago, really hurt me. And I thought I'd forgiven the person. So one of the days I was praying, last 2 years, I was praying. And suddenly the Lord told me and said, the Lord called the person's name. I'm like, Lord, okay. Yeah, my heart is clear. You know how sometimes we want to show the Lord that we are fine. God, you know our state. I was like, Lord, yeah, my heart is clear. It's, yeah, you can bless him. God said, no, I'm not blessing him. You will bless him. I'm telling you, so I said in my heart while I was praying, I said, okay, Lord, I bless him. He's blessed. The Lord said, no, you're sending him $500,000. He hurt me. That's when I discovered where I was. So I was like, I know sometimes in that case, you're now trying to evaluate if it's God's voice or hear it. So where I was praying, I was like, I you know, when you know how God speaks to you and he speaks to you, it's difficult for you to assume he didn't speak to you. I was trying to find every way, God, is this you? And I'll tell you something about God. When you have a walk with God, sometimes he will speak to you once. He doesn't go repeating it. He won't keep telling you, give it, give it. He will say, but that word, it will be sounding in your heart. Bible said, once has this spoken. How many times have we heard? It will be sounding. Once you come to him, it will start. It's like an echo in your spirit. You'll be restless. So I battled. Nobody knew. I started looking out for the person's number. And I called. I called. Of course, I couldn't reach the person. I had to call someone that knew the person. I said, please help me get the person's account number. That's all I need. The person said, Pastor, you don't want to speak. I said, I don't want to. Just get his account number. Okay? Because I might speak with him, he will trigger something and say, Lord, you see it. So sometimes God will tell you to do things because he wants to activate goodwill in your journey. Is someone hearing me? Listen, there are many things a believer will miss if you don't start your year with the Lord. You think you're doing great. But the promotions he has set before you, Bible said promotion does not come from the east, west, or south. It comes from the Lord Almighty. Things he has set in front of you, you wouldn't meet them because you can't navigate your way through them. It's in those instructions, as you obey them, suddenly you see the revealing of God's promises over your life. Somebody say amen. So you have to learn how to finish strong. This is your moment as we begin to get to the real final days of this year. Begin to evaluate where you are, the things that have happened this year. How were you finished if you ever had something that the Lord asked you to do? And get back to the Lord. You have to finish strong. And here is the secret. I'm closing with this. If you cannot finish strong, you cannot start strong. Okay? Is someone hearing me? If you cannot finish strong, you cannot start strong. So many times, the strength of your starting is dependent on the strength you finished with. So don't get into next year thinking that next year is a brand new year that came out from nowhere. It's tracing itself through every single step that has happened. And you have to finish well to be able to start well. Somebody say amen. So take stock of your journey this year as we prepare for next year. Next Sunday, we're going to start looking at how you can start your year in strength. I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to basically share with you the three stages of starting with God. I've told you one. One is starting in His presence. Okay, which many will even miss. That first night, they'll go and pick shift. And guess what? You live in a country where that first night, they will pay you times 10. Yeah. The devil is that smart, in case you don't know. That first night, they will pay you times 10 of what they're paying you. Okay? So you can either decide to become Esau, okay, and sell your whole year's journey for times 10. Somebody say times 10. I told you something that I think you should take to heart. There are some believers that as the year starts, they will tell the Lord, Lord, if I don't get a word from you, I don't step into that year. Everything pauses. I know a young man, so blessed of God, and this not being particular about finances, but this is about him, God prospering his ways. And he's so blessed of God, so blessed of God. And one of the days, I was speaking with him. You know what he told me? He said, every January, I close down. I don't have contact with my businesses January, the whole of January. I said, so what do you do? He said, that's my month dedicated to the Lord to set the year. He said, the things that will happen in that year, I'll finish it in January. But he said, if the Lord does not finish with me in January, I don't get into the year. Because I told you that there are many increase in our life that must have to answer to an altar. They must have to answer to a covenant. Amen? So you that is a believer as well with him, you think he's running by human strength? No. No. There are informations he has that you don't have. Someone stood by him. He didn't know that just by helping that person, doors have opened. And it came by instruction. But you, someone sat by you in a hall, in the banking hall, you didn't know that there was divine instruction that would have come to guide you. But he found his when he spent time with the Lord. So begin to take stock of this year. And remember, it's in the light of finishing well, because how well you finish will determine how well you will start. Somebody say amen. Close your eyes and let's pray to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. And here's our journey with you. Not just, not working religiously, but just serving you and loving you and learning your ways. And Lord, as we approach the end of this year, and as through your word you've taught us how to finish strong, we just don't want to end our year and start the next. We want to finish well. Realizing the things that you've asked us to do that were accomplished. Being grateful for the things you've done. Realizing the things that we could not accomplish. And seeking your face for direction. Lord, we ask that every one of us will receive strength and empowerment by your Spirit to pursue this, to finish strong. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen.